Hello, my fellow Americans. This is Bill Lipinski. And up next is our brilliant leader, Ray Hanania.
And Bill Lipinski is my mentor here at Two Guys in Politics. I am Ray Hanania. It's April 24, 2024, and this is season three, episode 13. You know, Bill, it almost sounds like a Star Wars sequel that we're talking about here. Episode whatever. We got a couple of good topics here on Two Guys on Politics. GOP House Speaker Mike Johnson juggling his leadership and with party politics. We're going to talk also about the impact that Hollywood has on America and its politics, and this new movie that came out, very controversial, called Civil War, about what could happen in the United States, and do they or do they not try to, you know, make fun of Trump? And maybe we'll provide an update on our favorite topic, Robert F. Kennedy Jr., who has a big following of people out there, and we certainly appreciate every time they load up and listen to our show. So we will continue to talk about RFK, Robert F. Kennedy Jr., in our podcast. But Bill, tell us a little bit about GOP House Speaker Mike Johnson and the passage of this $95 billion aid package for Israel, the Ukraine, and Taiwan.
Well, I think that Johnson showed that he was a real patriot by bucking the very, very conservative members of the Republican Party. And I think that he was willing to accept the help of the Democrats to pass this legislation. Now, there are still many Democrats, many Republicans who are opposed to this legislation or parts of this legislation. But Johnson, I think, really took a step forward in the eyes of many, many people, proved he is a true patriot by doing this, by risking his speakership. But when he was asked about that, he said, well, you have to do the right thing for history. And if I lose my speakership because of it, so be it. So I admire him for doing it. There are a lot of people that I have heard from personally, primarily younger people, are not happy with sending $90 billion out to Taiwan and Ukraine and to Israel. I am surprised at the amount of, well, first of all, in regards to Taiwan, most people don't think about Taiwan one way or another. But some people have brought up to me that the second largest party in Taiwan really doesn't want to have anything to do with us. They are hopeful that if we would get out of the way, that they might be able to come to some agreement with the mainland. I don't think that's possible. I know what happened in Hong Kong. They were supposed to let Hong Kong, you know, take care of itself. Well, that hasn't happened. I don't think it happened in Taiwan either. But the second largest party feels that they can make a deal. But the Ukraine, I've read a number of columns recently by people who maintain the situation with Ukraine, that the war is lost already, that Ukraine has lost the war. Now, I don't agree with this at all. And I think that we have to continue to help Ukraine. But there's a lot of people in this country who are, you know, not happy with this legislation. And I think it's really very, very unfortunate. And then we get to the Israeli situation. Well, you can see by all the demonstrations on the campuses across this country, by people who support the Palestinian cause, many of them are Jewish people. You know, many of them are non-Palestinians. It's incredible to me that, you know, we have this divide in this country. I mean, this country is so badly divided at the present time.
Right.
But then add these three, you know, items to the agenda. Once again, it's splitting people apart. There's nothing that I know of that is bringing America together. And Joe Biden's number one issue when he ran was that he was going to bring America together. Unfortunately, we are split further apart. And it seems like every single issue that comes up, half the country is pro, half the country is, you know, against it. So I think it's a very, very bad situation, Ray. What do you think?
Yeah, now I agree with you on a lot of that. I look at this just slightly different. You know, there are two different perspectives on this, two big issues. If we were to separate Israel from Ukraine and Taiwan, Israel is one of those issues where, and I believe, in my opinion, that the Israelis have been over the years very smart about reinforcing support of Israel and their interests among Congress and the Senate. Pouring millions of dollars into campaign coffers while the Arabs have done nothing. You know, so I don't blame Israel for pursuing that strategy. I do blame the Arabs for not doing anything. They don't lobby as effectively as the Israelis. But it's created a situation where no mainstream or Republican, mainstream Democrat or Republican can question what Israel does, because they get so much from Israel. So we're going to give Israel, I don't even know how much it is of that $95 billion. It might be $20 billion or who knows how much. But Israel is going to get that money. And I question whether Israel really needs it. Israel is one of the strongest countries in the world. It's the strongest military in the Middle East by far, over every one of its opponents. If you combined all the Arab countries together, half of them have agreements with Israel. But if you combine them all together, their military doesn't even come close to having the half potency of Israel's military, which has a complete backing of the United States. So for me, giving any money to Israel is a waste of money. They don't need it. Their citizens get free health care. Their citizens get free retirement. Their citizens are living very well. And the conflict that they have is under an occupation that they control using our money and our military equipment. So from that perspective, you know where I stand on it. Now, on the other hand, I was going to say, on the other hand, the Ukraine, I really believe it's a completely different story. The Russians unjustly and wrongly attacked Ukraine. They are doing everything to target civilians in Ukraine. Ukraine is in jeopardy. And yet I see the political freedom in Congress and the Senate for people to say, I don't like Ukraine or I support Ukraine. So there's a bigger debate about Ukraine, which I think is a bigger threat to Western democracy than what's happening with Israel and Hamas. I really think that Israel and Hamas is a much smaller threat to us than what's happening in Ukraine. And yet we have much easier debate and division over Ukraine. They're like with part of, and as you pointed out, there were many Republicans, not many, but there was a significant number that are opposed to giving any money to Ukraine. And I don't understand that. And yet it was almost completely overwhelming to support Israel. So those are the contradictions that I see, and I'm worried about Ukraine more than anything, that if they do lose, our greatest, second greatest enemy, Russia, next only to China, is going to be on a stronger footing and will be a greater threat to the United States.
Well, I as I say, Taiwan, I don't think the American people even think of Taiwan, except for those who are very into foreign policy by the United States.
Right.
The situation with Israel, as you've said, they have enormous support in this country because of the money that they know donate to senators, congressmen, and to the president, whoever happened to be supporting. Many times they donate money to both presidential candidates. And that, I don't understand, though. The our government is very strong for Israel. And I support Israel also, but I have said countless times on this podcast that I think they've conducted the war in a terrible fashion, and they've made
right.
enemies out of more and more people the longer the war has gone on. And in this country, probably the greatest opposition amongst the population is the money for Israel. I mean, we have demonstrations on campuses across
yes.
this country in behalf of the Palestinian cause. Maybe that's too strong. Maybe it's not in behalf of the Palestinian cause. but it is certainly against the position that the Israelis have imposed on Gaza ever since, they were attacked by Hamas. They seem to have lost their way. You know, it was Hamas. It wasn't the Palestinian people that attacked them. So,
right.
You know, there's a lot coming home to roost in these demonstrations. And some of these demonstrations have gotten to be rather violent, unfortunately.
Yeah, and I think that part of the problem is the mastery of public relations. The Israelis are very smart at their PR and their communications. They have an easier road here in the United States. They get more sympathy from the politicians, you know, who they're funding millions. If you go to opensecrets.com, you can see the list is unbelievable of senators and congressmen who have received millions. I understand a few, you know, $20,000 going to somebody over the course of 5 or 10 years. But when you receive $2 million, $3 million from Israel into your campaign coffers, that is a huge amount of money. But on the other hand, the Arabs have done a poor job of getting their message across. They always have. So they're always at a disadvantage. So it's easy to make the Arabs look bad in the U.S. media. And I think that's what Israel is doing. They're making the Arab protesters, these students, look bad. They can have 40 protests, but if there's one incident where someone takes a chair and throws it at somebody, a police officer, that becomes the face of the Arab protest. And I don't think that's what it is. I think 99% of the protesters are against Israel's government, not against Jews. And but it's being made to be anti-Semitic. And I think that's more propaganda than reality.
Why do you think there have been so many demonstrations in regards to either supporting the Palestinian cause or being opposed to what the Israelis have been doing? I mean, it is very, very significant. This is the most involved I've seen college students going back, you know, to the early 1960s in the Vietnam War.
Right. Well, I was just going to say that it's exactly what happened during the Vietnam War, but in a slightly different way. You and I both remember during the Vietnam War, everything, the U.S. was gung-ho for that war.
Absolutely.
Up until about the middle of the 1960s, and television started presenting videos of what was happening there. So Americans, instead of hearing the reports from, you know, LBJ, we're now seeing the vast massacres and devastation, and worse, where they would see some of our soldiers, not all of them, but some of them, like I can't remember the guy's name, at My Lai, the My Lai massacre, where they killed these innocent women and children, Viet Cong, you know, the North Vietnamese women and children, brutally. And then that was only one. There were like 20 of those massacres that were coming out. And I think those TV reports were like cold water in the face of the American public. And we started to see protests, mainly from the young students, college, and younger people who were seeing these. We're seeing the exact same thing today, but in a different way. And it's coming from TikTok. TikTok is like the new television. And if you go to TikTok, you see these videos that are horrific, that are, you know, videotaped of the Israelis blowing up homes, blowing up buildings, killing civilians, things that you don't see in the mainstream media. And I think, in my opinion, that's one reason why the pro-Israel movement in the United States is behind this effort to shut down TikTok, claiming, and maybe it rightly so, that this somehow is going to feed, you know, information to the Chinese government. But that's what we're seeing. And just another note real quick, the Pew Research Center just did a survey that I got a copy of. It came out yesterday on Wednesday, today, April 24th, that said that twice as many younger Americans are opposed to Israel's government, and that there's a growing opposition to Israel's government, not Israel, but Israel's government. And that even among older people, there's a reduction in support for Israel. Israel still has strong support, but it's starting to erode. And I think these videos that are coming out through TikTok, which is like the new TV for the younger generation, is having that impact.
Well, just to be a little bit balanced over here.
Sure.
TikTok, from what I understand, is really owned and controlled by the Communist Party of China.
Yes.
It is my opinion that they are definitely fomenting trouble here in this country for the American government. And they are the chief supporters of the Palestinians. Now, I could also say, you know, that they are the chief opponent of the Israelis. Frankly, I don't know how much of that is true, okay? But there are people who espouse that. There are people who believe in that. All I know is that I had great sympathy for the Israelis when they were attacked by Hamas. As time has gone on, and I have been continually on my soapbox talking about how the Israelis have been very, very dumb in how they conducted this war. And considering how good their PR has always been, they certainly blew an awful lot of it by the way they have conducted it. But once again, this whole thing falls back on America. It's once again dividing America, which, as far as I'm concerned, is, you know, more important than any other issue that has come up.
And I agree with you. And just a little note, this is interesting about TikTok. Now, TikTok is owned by a company called ByteDance, which is a Chinese company, a major Chinese company, and it's huge. And TikTok is the fastest growing social media in the world. But China bans TikTok. Chinese people are not allowed to use TikTok. What happens is that China uses a similar version of TikTok called Douyin, Douyin. It's the Chinese version of TikTok, which is censored by the Chinese government. They control what goes on that Chinese version of TikTok. But outside of China and a few other countries, like the United States, they allow all this other stuff to be broadcast. Now, I will say again, in defense of TikTok, that if it wasn't for TikTok, Americans would never have seen a lot of this violence that Israel has been engaged in, because the U.S. media isn't showing it. So it's one of these difficult issues, because there's some right and some wrong about all these issues that's hard to sort through, because nobody's really sorting through it. Normally, during the Vietnam War, the media was actually driving an understanding of what was happening in Vietnam. Today, it's this Chinese company that's manipulated by China that's driving the understanding of what's happening. I don't think it's inaccurate, but I do think that the Chinese are using it for their own benefit at the expense of the United States.
I agree with that totally. And the other thing is that you know, and I know, that the Israeli influence in the news media in this country is very, very significant.
Yes.
Now, again, they work at it. You know, they talk to reporters, they talk to anchor people. They're very open. They like to get out and they like to talk about things. The Arabs don't. The Arabs still stay to themselves. It's like they live in this country, but they prefer to live with all their own kind. Now, it's about time they break out of that mold, because they're never really going to be accepted in this country until they do that.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. I think that that I do, you know, anybody can use the American system. The fact that the Israelis do it, you can criticize how they do it, but if anybody can do it, and the Arabs are not doing it, not even the Arab Americans, not even the protesters are doing it right. But I think the bottom line is that when you look past this imbalance, I think the majority of protesters have a right to protest at these campuses. I think that both sides, you don't see the Israeli protests against the Arabs at many of these campuses, or the violence from some of the pro-Israel supporters. So there's an imbalance in how it's projected because of this media imbalance between Israel and the Arabs. But I think that if you look closely, I think people are seeing that there's something wrong and we're not getting the full picture. And hopefully that'll change, but it sure has an impact on us. And I agree with you, it's only fueling the polarization, this growing divide that we have in this country. It's not bringing America together.
Nope, not at all. In talking about things that divide us,
yes,
I have not seen it, but I've heard a great deal about this war, this movie called Civil War. I understand you have seen it, correct?
Yes. Now, I'm a big movie buff going back for, you know, for my generation. We love the movies. And the one thing I've learned about movies is this, that the imagination of movie producers in the 50s talking about space and science fiction, it eventually comes true. When I was a kid, and I think you were a young man, I would probably remember how Dick Tracy, the comics and the TV cartoons, showed Dick Tracy talking into a phone on his hand. It was a video phone, and people said, oh, that's impossible. That will never happen. And as we know, I'm wearing an iPhone right now where I could talk to people
right
anywhere in the world, not just in New York City or to my other detectives. So what we see in the movies eventually happens. So a producer, a very liberal producer named Alex Garland, a director, put together this movie called Civil War. And he claims that it's not about Trump, but it is about an authoritarian president, he says, who's chubby looking, played by Nick Offerman, who's actually a comedian more than a good actor, but he plays in Parks and Recreation. I don't know if you've ever seen him. I don't know if you saw the picture of him, but
yes,
he looks like Trump. He looks like Trump.
Yes, he does.
And the movie begins with him saying, the way Trump would, we are winning this war. We are, you know, they're stealing the country from us, just like he said they're stealing the elections from us. And then it shifts over to follow four journalists who this president, and they don't name him, has said shoot to kill journalists on site because he blames the journalists for his problem. Now, if that doesn't sound like Donald Trump, I don't know what does, even though I think it's an exaggeration. But the movie follows that until the very end when the Western forces, the Civil War forces that are rebelling against the president, surround the White House, attack the White House, kill all the Secret Service, confront the press secretary who looks like Kellyanne Conway, I think is her name. And she's begging, saying, hey, he wants a surrender, but he wants a guarantee that it can go to another country. And the forces just look at her and say, uh-uh, and they shoot her dead. They just execute her. And you can hear people in the audience go, yeah! Like, you know, there's a political movement in the audience in favor of killing these people. And then they find the president, again, unnamed, hiding under the Resolute desk. And they drag him out in the Oval Office by his feet. He's on the ground. And the reporter comes up to him while he's surrounded by these forces, including the unit commander, who is an African-American woman, standing over him with an automatic pointed at his head. And the reporter says, I need a comment from you for my story. And he says, please don't let them kill me. And he says, that'll do. And then he steps back and the soldiers shoot him to death. They just execute him. Now, if you're a big Trump hater, you're celebrating that movie. And if you're a Trump supporter, it's fueling the anger that this is another left-wing liberal attack against everything that they believe in. And the fact they won't address it, I think, is wrong.
No, I, from what you have told me, what a number of other people have told me, this sounds like definitely a propaganda mover in behalf of the very progressive Democrats and obviously against Donald Trump. And once again, you know, in order to make money, people are being divided radically in this country.
Yes.
We're going to be so divided that if we're ever attacked by anyone, I don't know how we're going to wind up resisting. I think one side or the other side might possibly sell out to who's ever attacking us. This kind of movie, because so many people see it, so many people believe it totally. And so many people in this country are against Trump. It's the media, no, the media and the news industry are really totally against Trump. Now, I don't like Trump. I've never voted for him. I never will vote for him. But I really think that the people that are involved against him will use every single trick in the world to prevent him from once again being elected president of the United States. I understand in this movie, too, this fictitious president actually was elected twice, and then he declared he got rid of the Noah.
The 22nd Amendment.
Right. Yes. I think
he's serving a third term, which emphasizes what many people believe, right? That Trump would do, that if he gets back into the White House, he's just going to take over as an authoritarian president, just like this guy, and serve a third term or even become like Vladimir Putin. That's the projected assertion.
Yep, absolutely.
I think that this does a disservice. If we had a country where we could talk and debate in a responsible way, a movie like this would just be entertainment.
Right.
And we could say, yeah, but this movie is a continuation of the entertainment media fueling a hatred that is, and I agree with you, I don't like Trump. I don't think he would make a great president. I don't like Biden. I wish for somebody else, you know, who would be smarter and can bring everybody together, but we haven't found that person yet. So all this movie is doing is fueling the haters to hate Trump more and fueling the pro-Trump people to hate the left more. And it's just creating a greater divide. That's not good for the country. And I think this movie's a disservice. This person didn't care about what impact it would have on, it would be like, remember those movies from the 50s and 60s where, you know, they would portray blacks as violent and horrible people fueling the racism in this country. That's kind of what I think this movie does. It really does a disservice to the future of this country. And you can't just say, oh, it's just a movie, ignore it. No, these movies reflect attitudes in this country, and it could become a reality.
Well, it's propaganda. It's not really entertainment. It's propaganda. I mean, I remember the movies that were made during the Second World War in behalf of the American side against the Germans, against the Japs. They were propaganda movies. It was good entertainment, and no one complained about them because we were all on the same
team.
We
were all united, right? Yeah.
Exactly, exactly. But, you know, now that is not the situation. But, you know, we need someone. You don't like Biden. You don't like Trump. I don't like either one of them either. We have to have someone bring us together. Now, do you think that could possibly be Robert Kennedy Jr.?
Listen, I'm hoping the problem with Robert F. Kennedy Jr., and I like the guy, is that he focuses on the extreme, you know, and I don't know if it's the media that only looks at the conspiracy stuff he talks about, but he seems to be focused away from the issues that he should be talking about. He should be talking about the mainstream things that Americans are really concerned about: seniors, Social Security, health care. I don't want to talk about whether the COVID vaccine is good or bad. I want to talk about what are you going to do to bring everybody together? And I don't hear him addressing that. So it concerns me a little bit. But my theory has been always from the beginning. When I first voted for Trump the very first time, I thought maybe he would have an opportunity to do something different. He didn't. When I voted for Biden the next time, I thought maybe Biden, because he said, I'm going to bring everybody together. I'm going to work hard to bring the country together. He didn't. Now I'm hoping maybe Robert F. Kennedy could do that. Maybe he'll bring everybody together. Maybe he won't. I don't know. But I'm really worried because we don't have many choices. We don't have anybody standing up in the middle saying, let's forget about all this anger and polarization and divisiveness. Let's stop and look at the reality. Quit calling each other and people names. Let's talk about the facts. This is about America. Look at our situation in the world. We are falling apart. And if this Ukraine, Russian takeover, if the Russians take over Ukraine, as many people are suddenly saying may happen,
Absolutely. Yes.
It's bad for us as America, and nobody is really focused on stopping that. So I'm really concerned moving forward, and I have no idea what the actual answer is. I'm hoping it's Robert F. Kennedy Jr.
Well, I don't know what Kennedy, I can't really tell if he's a conservative or if he's a liberal or if he's a progressive or he's a middle of the roader, because he doesn't talk about the issues, as you mentioned,
right,
that are significant to the American people. I mean, the COVID is over with and done with. He shouldn't talk about that at all. He didn't believe
right.
in vaccines. He didn't believe in them because he didn't think they were tested enough. They weren't tested enough. By the same token, I think they did a lot of good in this country. So we ought to just stop talking about that. And there's some other issue that he likes to talk about continually. And it's irrelevant to the American people. He has to be more practical if he's going to be successful and talk about those issues that are important, you know, to the American people. Now, has he commented on this $90 billion foreign aid package?
No, see, that's another thing that he says he's going to take us out of war, and these general proclamations that make no sense. I think it would have been smart if he could have given us a good analysis of what was right about this, what was wrong about it. But I don't think he's doing that. I think maybe he's overwhelmed. His own family went against him, as you saw, because they support Biden. And Biden is doing everything he can, because Biden appointed four of his family members to big diplomatic positions, ambassadors, representatives. So they're not going to turn against Biden. But he should have addressed that. And I think that he's not doing enough to really talk about the issues that you and I and other people want to hear. And that's a problem. Who else is out there? You know, besides those three, I don't see anybody.
Well,
Significant.
There are several other candidates, but they are insignificant, really. I mean,
right.
Most of them are running just for their own ego. And they're
right.
on the ballot, maybe in one state or two states, and they're not going to have any kind of impact on this election whatsoever. Now, we continue to struggle in this country by not being united. And somehow I hope a miracle occurs and someone comes forward that can unite this country. It may not be possible any longer, but I'm still hoping it is.
Well, I agree with you, Bill, and I think we can end on that note. I'm Ray Hanania.
I'm Bill Lipinski, a fellow American.
And we will talk to everybody again next week. Thank you for listening for Two Guys on Politics. Remember, our website is twoguysonpolitics.com. Until next week, we'll talk to you again. Thanks, Bill.